this is where the binging just became uncontrollable. There's been times where I binge like 10,000 calories.
Wow.
In one sitting. I would hear them in the kitchen talking and saying like, did Melissa have like a bunch of friends over? Because all the food was gone. I didn't think this could even be possible because I thought I was gonna have the binging episodes till the day I died.
Today, I'm talking to Melissa about her 10-year battle with binge eating. She opens up incredibly vulnerably about the challenges in her life that led to binge eating, her parents' divorce, being bullied, hiding food in her room, and a desperate desire to find her purpose. And that desire is what ultimately led her through this challenging time to where she is today. This passionate, powerful woman with a healthy and balanced approach to food and nutrition that is actually sustainable and supports her fitness goals. And she says she wouldn't change it for the world and offers so much hope and inspiration for women out there who may be struggling with binge eating or who just want to have a beautiful and healthy relationship to food.
And I love that we're sitting here because it feels like a therapy session right now. I'm like, oh shit. I've never even opened up to a therapist about this.
Really?
Yeah, never. Because I never found the right therapist right. to like speak to about my binging disorder.
Yeah, you have to trust your therapist.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like you have to have a lot of trust in someone to open up about those big things. And if it's not the right person, then it's not going to work.
I agree.
All right. So I know this is something you've really personally battled with before. So take me back to what was the hardest? What was it like? Why were you there?
I know. I feel like it's important to understand my history, my childhood, my upbringing, because that when I think about why I struggled with my binging disorder, it all starts to make sense. And obviously I've looked up like what is binging? Because I remember having this struggle of just eating so much food in a short amount of time. And binge eating doesn't necessarily mean that you puke afterwards, but I also had bulimia. So I would have these moments where I would just have this uncontrollable need to eat everything in my sight. And then I would feel disgusted and full and bloated. So what do you do after that? You try to get it out of your system. So I would puke it out. And this happened for like 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 10 years. But the bulimia was on and off. Like I wasn't puking for 10 years. Oh my God, I think my esophagus would be destroyed by now if I did and my teeth would be rotten. But it was on and off with like still having those binging episodes and then going to being anorexic and then bulimic and then back again to the binging.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys don't know about me, I was born in LA. And then at the age of 7, I moved to Italy. And that already itself, like up till 7, we had to move twice. And moving to Italy like was a drastic change for me because I did speak Italian, but I didn't know Italian too well. Like I went to elementary in the States. Well, I did first and second grade preschool. So the foundation was in LA. And then I moved to Italy and my dad taught me Italian when I was little. But I was made fun of at school because I couldn't speak it.
Because you had an accent?
Yeah, I had a little bit of an accent. And that was kind of tough. And also the time period of when I moved to Italy, which was in the early 2000s, there was a lot of animosity with America, Europe. So people didn't look at Americans. Like they were always talking crap about Americans. I remember always feeling like an outcast. I was the only American girl at my school. And I did get bullied a lot, even by my teachers. And on
even
top,
by your teachers?
Yes,
wow.
My teachers were so nasty to me. Like, I don't remember having a good experience at school.
And 7 is such a tender age.
Exactly. And not only my teachers, even at 7, like, there was someone in my family, too, that bashed on me a lot and was always calling me out on certain things that I would do. Even at the age of 7, I'm like, I don't know any better at 7. So I know already at 7, there was a lot going on in terms of feeling like an outcast, not fitting in. By this time, I wasn't struggling with my body image or binging. And also, I was very petite. I was never overweight as a little child. I wasn't a big girl. So I would eat a lot. and I would never gain weight, mm-hmm. which was great. Mm-hmm. I had a fast metabolism.
Who doesn't want that?
I was like that at 7 too.
Yeah. I think, well, not a lot of kids are. I thought it was for everyone. Like a lot of kids do put on weight.
Yeah.
But I also did gymnastics. So I was a very active girl. My mom would always catch me. Like I would come back home. My stockings were all ripped. And she's like, what the hell were you doing? And I was like, I was playing soccer with the boys. And I grew up with two brothers. So I'm a tomboy at heart. And I was very active. So 7 to 14, I'm in Italy. My parents get divorced. And this might not seem like a big deal for a lot of people, but for me it was, because my dad always, one thing I love about my dad is he instilled the value of family, loyalty. There's this one word, it's called omerta in Italian, which means you have to have complete loyalty to the people you love. And I knew that family to him meant a lot. So therefore for me too, I was like, my family's everything. I remember going to bed praying like, I just want my family to be okay. And I never want my parents to get divorced. And like, that's what I would pray for every night. And
was it something you were worried about? Like why?
My parents fought a lot. Mm. My parents used to fight a lot. So I remember just going to bed being like, I don't want my parents to break up. Like, please have them stay together forever. So family was a huge thing. And when my parents got divorced, it was kind of unexpected in a way. And now it all makes sense to me. I mean, my mom opened up. I've spoke to my dad about it. And like, if I look at the bigger picture, I see the reason why they got divorced. But at the time, I couldn't understand it. And it was heartbreaking for me. Like literally, I felt like my whole world collapsed. And my mom took me and my brothers back to the States. And the woman had to do it all by herself. Like she was juggling 2 to 3 different jobs. And yeah, we were back in the States and my dad wasn't there. And that was already very hard for me. But at this point, going to the States and living in Italy for such a long time, they don't have the same eating habits that they have here. They don't have all the fast food joints. They don't have cafeterias at your food where you can get these disgusting burritos with like 3,000 calories and Lay's and chips and sodas. So I was super intrigued by this.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? This looks so good. This tastes so good. But I already had the experience with eating junk food. My mom lived in New York and she has family out there. So I would go on vacation here and there, mm-hmm. like from 9 to 11. So I already got introduced to that type of food, but I remember eating it and not feeling sick or not putting on weight.
Yeah.
But at 14, our bodies are different. Changing. Mm-hmm. Puberty is happening. And I just remember being so fascinated by all this junk food and I really liked it. So I would eat it, but I still had the healthy habits instilled in me because my mom, one thing about my mom, and this is important for me to bring this up because I feel like this is another reason why I had a really bad relationship with food. My mom was anorexic for a little bit. And I remember just seeing her when we were in Italy, I remember seeing her like always letting people know how much she was eating. I'm only going to have this much.
Mm.
And I was, why are you telling, why does it matter?
Yeah.
Why are you telling people your portion?
Yeah.
Or she would not eat certain foods that we were eating at the table. Like if we're in Italy, we're eating pasta, she wouldn't eat the pasta. Yeah. She would eat vegetables. Or if she ate the pasta, she would eat like 2 small pieces. Mm. And it didn't make sense to me. I remember we lived in this house in the outskirts and downstairs we had this bicycle and she would just go on that bicycle for like 50 minutes to an hour, if not more, every single day, which is great because my mom is very active and is super healthy. In that specific time too, she was just having, I'm assuming she was struggling a bit.
Yeah.
But it didn't make sense to me. I thought there's something wrong here. Like why is she so strict with her food? So we go back to my story of like being in high school, eating all this food, I started putting on weight. And I kind of noticed it, but it didn't bother me. I was just like, okay. But someone did point it out and they said, well, my mom pointed it out. I'm not going to like be through the bush here. So my mom pointed it out. She's like, Mel, mom, don't worry. I don't hate you for this. It's okay. You called me out. Okay.
It's but part of
did,
the journey.
Yeah. Like, it's fine. I'm happy she did because, I mean, in a way, I am happy.
Yeah.
Because also, what? If she never called me out, I could have gained 300 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I would have reached that point, but still.
Yeah.
So she's like, you're putting on some weight. Like, your thighs are looking bigger. And I started getting cellulite on my legs. She didn't point that out, but I started to notice it.
Yeah.
And that kind of was the point where, oh shit, I need to be careful with what I eat.
Yeah.
And I need to be more mindful. But it wasn't mindful eating. There was no intuitive eating. It was more, I need to restrict myself, mm-hmm. which is the most dangerous part about the binging. Because when you tell someone to not do something, they're going to want to do it more. And that's all they think about. Food, food, food.
Yeah.
So I just remember I stopped eating all that junk food. I just started eating vegetables. I didn't even know the importance of protein. I actually thought fat too. I tried to remove fat. Yep. I thought fat makes you gain weight.
Such a common misconception that a lot of people think.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I just ate vegetables and salads. And then I started going to the gym, but I didn't know what the hell I was doing. No, we lived
what
in
what did you do at the gym?
We had a community complex and like I saw the gym and I was like, okay, cool. I told you, I've always been active.
Yeah.
What did I do at the gym? I was on the freaking elliptical like an idiot.
That's great. I can see
like an idiot for 45 minutes. And then I would just like go on certain machines and see how they worked. And I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know what I'm doing here. The elliptical made sense to me. The cardio made sense because it's like, okay, you sweat a lot, you burn a lot of calories, which at the time I thought was important.
Yep.
So that's all I did. But the thing is, at 14, 15, Melissa became a little rebel. Like, I was wild. Like, I was a wild child. And I was the black sheep of the family because I was the only one doing crazy things. And my brothers were more calm. And they had a good head on their shoulders already at 15. I didn't. And at 15, I got expelled from high school.
Mm. Why do you think it was that you had that mindset and they were in a different spot?
Well, actually, one of my brothers was just as crazy as me. The only thing is he didn't get caught and he was more subtle about it.
Smarter.
So yeah, he was smarter about it. Danny, I think, is because I'm 3 years older than him. So I'm assuming maybe the stage that we were at, it didn't affect him as much.
Yeah.
But he's also very different than I am. I'm an extrovert. I'm very emotional. Like, you can read it on my face when there's something off. And Danny's just like, you can't tell. He's an introvert. Like, he's very reserved.
Yeah.
I'm just open. Yeah. I'm an open book.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it affected me the most. And maybe being a female, I don't know, maybe being a female too, it can.
That's what I'm wondering too. Like, you had two brothers, if that had something to do with it as well. If you kind of already felt like you were different from the rest of your family for that reason, and then you just kind of leaned into that. And you're like, I'm different. And so I have to, you know, prove that I'm different or something like that. And I can relate. I think a lot of what you shared so far is so relatable to so many people. So many kids have seen their parents get divorced and had that be the most heartbreaking thing. And I think it is a huge deal because it's like all the values and foundation that you've built your whole life on gets swept away. And then what do you have to stand on? So I think that's incredibly relatable to so many people. And then, yeah, the rebellious phase of pushing into trying to find yourself or latch on to something that you're like, I need to, you know, I think it's out of wanting to find yourself in a way. And I can relate too. I always felt like the black sheep in the family as well. And I think that also led to some of my own rebellious phases too. So I think there's probably a connection there as well.
Yeah. No. And also I think being the middle child, because they always
I'm
say,
the middle child too.
You're middle child?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were the oldest one.
No, no.
You know what they say about the middle child?
Yeah.
Because it's like the first one gets all the attention and then the parents are exhausted. So the middle child comes around. They're like, fuck this shit. You deal with it on your own. I don't want to put up with this.
And then the baby.
And then the baby comes in. That's like, oh, it's a yes baby. It's like, this is our precious.
Exactly.
And the middle child gets fucked.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
It's so true. It's so true. This is probably why we get along so well.
So that, yeah, it in a way, I feel like there's just so many components as to why I became rebellious, as to why I started having these binging episodes.
Did you know that your mom was anorexic at that point in time? Or did you not find that out until later?
My mom was an anorexic. Like, when we were living in Italy, she was not an anorexic. Mom, once again, I'm sorry for bringing this up. But you know what? People need to hear this because it's important. She wasn't anorexic. When we were in Italy, she went through that phase when she was 18.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got
it. So that was way back. And then it just happened, like, up to this day, she's very careful with what she eats. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it comes to a point where it's like an obsession and you don't want that. And the anorexia, yeah, I wasn't aware of it up till later that she opened up to me about it.
Got it. Yeah, it's such a fine line between being careful with what you eat and going down the slippery slope of an eating disorder. And so probably, you know, yeah, even the cautiousness about the food or calling out what you're eating, it just sort of draws attention to like an anxiousness around it. It's not necessarily an eating disorder as well. So I think that that's a very important distinction to make. Okay, so you were a rebel.
Yeah, so you got expelled. Get expelled. I'm not going to go dive deep into this story. Let me just tell you alcohol was involved. Okay, maybe we can save this story for another time, have another episode on this. I get expelled. And from here, it's just all downhill. I'm doing crazy shit left to right. I woke up in the hospital one morning with like tubes on my body because I drank an entire bottle of vodka. I would sneak out at night. Like, I was doing crazy things. And of course, my dad came to the States and found out about this. And oh my God, he lost it and like said the nastiest shit. And from here, it's just feeling guilty, not understanding why I'm doing certain things, but it made sense at the time. And it was kind of a way of escaping from the reality of dealing with the divorce of my parents, going through puberty, being an adolescent, once again, outcast even in high school. Oh, the Italian girl. First, I'm the American girl. Then I'm the Italian girl. And here, too, I missed a big foundation of elementary school. So I didn't do part of elementary school. I didn't do middle school here. So I missed a big foundation of like even learning proper grammar. And up to this day, I'm like, I've put it aside and I'm doing my best to be able to communicate properly. But I do have moments where I'm like translating things from Italian to English. So I was an outcast and I didn't necessarily want to fit into, like, I didn't like that there was cliques everywhere. I saw the cheerleaders and the football players. And it's like, yeah, it's super cliche and it sounds like it's from a movie, but that's how high school works. And I didn't want to be a part of any of those groups.
Yeah.
Because the cheerleaders were bitches, stuck up, Abercrombie. Although on MySpace, and this is another thing too, it's like we had MySpace at the time. We might have not had Instagram, which I feel social media nowadays is 10 times worse than what it was. But even MySpace, like I do remember like going on MySpace and then seeing these really skinny girls wearing Abercrombie and I thought they were so fucking cool, yet I didn't want to be friends with them because they were bitches. So it's just these mixed feelings of never fitting in and the food comes along where, yes, I was restricting myself because I was told I need to lose weight. But at the same time, when you're restricting yourself, your body, like, it needs food. And if it needs food and you're not feeding it, it is going to go nuts whenever you do feed it because it's thinking, you're going to make me starve again tomorrow. So let's put as much food as possible in your body.
That makes sense.
And the bingings were really bad. And they weren't that bad in high school. The high school was more being really careful with my weight, drinking on the weekends because that's what I'm pretty sure 80% of what people, what kids do in high school. And if you're not, that's amazing. But I went through the learning experience of what it is to just go and drink excessive amount of alcohol and smoking. Smoking too kind of curbed my appetite. So I would smoke. I started smoking just to feel cool at the age of 15. Yeah. And then 17, I was smoking a pack of cigarettes every day.
Wow.
So, and that was for 10 years. And smoking curbs your appetite. So I was in a way, I was managing my weight, puked here and there whenever I overdid it. During this stage, so from 16 to 19, it wasn't as aggressive as it turned into when I went to college. Once again, here I'm driving my mom crazy. I'm doing the worst things to a point where she tells me, you are moving back to Italy with your father. Because if you continue down this path, the cops are going to call me one day. And they're going to tell me that they found your body. Mm-hmm. So made sense. I didn't want to leave because I had all my friends that I cared so much about. And they cared so much about me because all they wanted to do was make me drink. Or they wanted me to join them and drink. Really, and I had no self-control. I gave into peer pressure so much. So I was like, okay, fine. I'll move to Italy. So I moved to Italy with my dad. My dad had to take care of me because I wasn't like I had no goals or ambition at the time. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And also moving to Italy, I had to study. Like I wasn't just going to go there and I needed to study. So I found an American university out there. It's called the American University of Rome. And they had four different type of bachelor's or master's that you could get, which was history or archaeology, communications, and I think it was business.
Yeah.
And at the time, I hate when society makes you feel like you need to know what you want to do with your life by the age of 18, and then you're stuck studying something for 4 to 6 years, like depending on what you're graduating in.
And then to switch, you have to kind of start over. And
it didn't make sense to me. And I always knew, like deep down, I was like, this does not make sense, but I had to do it at the time. Like my mom's like, you need to enroll and get a degree for something. So I ended up getting my bachelor's in communication, but I swear I was just like eeny, meeny, miny, mo on what I wanted to do. Definitely not archaeology. I'm like, what? History? Italian studies? What the fuck am I going to do with Italian studies?
I mean, communications is actually really aligned to what you get out.
But I'm telling you, where my mind was, like nothing made sense. So I just picked whatever. Right. So I'm going to this school. There's like, I think there's no more than like 1,200 kids at this school, if not less. And I absolutely hated it. I absolutely hated it. I also hated the fact that while I was living in Italy, I was doing jobs that I didn't like. Like I was waiting tables. And then at one point I was helping my dad with his restaurant. And being with my dad is a very difficult environment to live in because he's just very aggressive and like says whatever he thinks and is on his mind. And sometimes it's not the nicest things. Yeah. Like it kind of stripped away my confidence living with him. And this is where the binging just became uncontrollable. Mm. Like, I don't know how to explain this. And for anyone that does have these episodes, they'll know what I'm talking about. But there's certain days where all you're thinking about is food, because let's say the day before you restrict it yourself, all you're thinking about is food. And if you do go eat, you do go and grab something to eat. You don't want anyone to see you. You don't want people to know, because I felt like I was doing something eating.
Yeah. Eating anything.
Eating. Well, it just like I didn't like when people saw me eating. I felt like I was just sinning. Like I it felt like a sin to eat. But then, of course, I would do it in private. Right.
Yeah.
Which didn't make sense because I was never a fat, fat girl, but I did put on 20 pounds in college. So I let's say my lowest weight when I was in the States was 110. I was 130, but 130 on a girl that's 5'4 is a lot. And I had no muscle at the time, so there's no definition. And I didn't like anyone see me eating. So what would happen is after school, I would go in Italy. They have, well, in Rome, specifically in Rome, there's like streets where they have like a pizzeria, which is like a pizza place. And then they have a cafe. And then they have like, there's just a bunch of little joints along the strip, especially where my school was. So I would go to one place and eat a sandwich. And then I was still hungry, but I didn't want them to know that I was getting two sandwiches. So then I would go to the next place and eat another sandwich there.
Yeah.
And then once I was done with that sandwich, I would go to another place and eat another sandwich there. And when I was done there, I would go to the supermarket, buy a bunch of food, bring it to my house and feast on it. There are times that I'm not even kidding, Sylvia. Like, it's wild for me to know that my mind was there and that's how my relationship with food was. But there's been times where I binged like 10,000 calories in one sitting.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. I'm not even exaggerating because if not, it might have even been more.
Yeah.
And what would happen afterwards, I puke it out. And I remember like just feeling so guilty, disgusted, crying, the worst tummy ache. And then whenever I puked it out, I would just go in bed, lay like a vegetable. And sometimes I would skip school. Sometimes I would skip work. I didn't want anyone to see me.
Yeah.
My dad, because at the time I was living with my dad for a few years while I was there, like the first 2 years of college, I was living with my dad. He would come knocking on my door like, are you in there? And I said, yeah, Dad, I'm not feeling good. Like, I was sick every – he thought I was sick every other day when the reality is I was just sick of all the food that I was putting in my body.
Yeah.
And I felt so disgusting. And in my head, like, the body dysmorphia starts to kick in too because you think you're overweight. And the only thing that kind of saved me in a way during that time period, because even there was drugs and alcohol involved, was going for a run. And that's why running is like
medicine.
Yes, therapy. I will never stop running. I know it's so bad for your joints, but I don't care. Like, I'll have my legs, but like, if I'm gonna have to remove my legs one day or my I'm just like,
get new knees.
Fine, I'm gonna keep, get new knees. I'm gonna keep on running till the day I die, because it literally saved me. Like, that was the only thing that, like, kind of, it was me escaping from all the madness going on and the binging episodes. And it was really hard, even knowing, like, there was times where my dad and Jolly, his girlfriend, I would hear them in the kitchen talking and saying, like, did Melissa have, like, a bunch of friends over? Because all the food was gone. All the food, like, it's crazy, Sylvia. Like, you can't control it.
Yeah.
Like, you just want to. There was times where I'm like, I'm not even hungry, but I needed to, like, I needed that food in my body. And just disappearing. And then burning bridges with friends, not showing up to events. Like, it was hard. And another thing, like, there's just so many components that go along with it. And once again, there's things that now make sense to me that I should have stopped doing before, because I mean, it was 10 years of this this vicious cycle and this constant battle with relationship with the food. But removing the scale was so important to me. And we spoke about this, and I remember asking you, like, why you weigh yourself daily. You didn't experience the binging. So, like, maybe for you, it's just like, yeah, you're collecting data. But for me, it was like, I need to see those numbers go down. And if I puked, I wanted to see the numbers go down.
Yeah.
And if I overdid it with the food, I needed to starve myself for an entire week because the numbers needed to go down. Mm-hmm. And those, like, the vicious cycle was just, Monday was prep for the week, right? So, like, starve myself. And by starving, okay, I'm not putting any food in my body. Salads, vegetables, some protein, coffee and cigarettes. And then Friday's time to go out. Gotta look good. So I gotta look skinny. I want those bones popping out here on my hips. And I wanna do my makeup nice and just feel really good with myself.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna starve on Friday because I need a drink and I want the alcohol to hit me faster.
Yep.
So that was my Friday. And then Saturday too, go out again. I wouldn't eat. I would start drinking earlier and then binge on alcohol as well. And what happens Sunday? The guilt, the shame, because when you're intoxicated, and especially if you black out, which is something I did very often, I don't remember a lot of my years from college. And blacking out makes you feel resentful and, oh my God, what did I do?
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're talking about me. Oh my God, why am I living? Like, I need to escape from this. Okay, the binging with the food happens.
Yeah.
And then repeat, I binge, and then Monday again, start, okay, tomorrow I'm gonna start my diet and I'm gonna be good.
Yeah.
And it's just this cycle and this cycle and this cycle. And some weeks it would be, there would be binges for 3 days and then I'd skip school for 3 days and work for 3 days. Mm-hmm. Guys, I'm sick, I can't come in. Mm-hmm. Like, why was I always sick? I wasn't sick, I was just, disgusted with myself.
Mm-hmm. Maybe before you move on from that, like, is there an example of a moment from that time that you think would be so relatable to people who also struggle with this? Or just like a memory that comes up that you want to share to maybe to show people, like, I see you.
I would hide food in my room. I would go in the bathroom and eat. Like, I know that's maybe not so relatable, but it can be relatable for people that are binging. And just feeling like the restriction, like not thinking that you can't eat that because it's going to make you gain weight, which is so ironic because then you binge and you do gain the weight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why is it the message so hard to get across, where it's like, don't restrict yourself, eat healthier, still enjoy those foods. At that time, and I think especially when you're 18 to 24, there's a lot going on. You don't know, you don't have an identity. I didn't have my identity. Like I said, I was doing things like every job that I went through, I hated it. I didn't like it. And I was studying for something that, communications is not bad. It's great. okay? But the school that I was going to, the teachers were awful. It was just like a terrible experience. So I didn't have my identity at the time. And when you feel lost and you don't feel like you have a purpose and you're just like walking around aimlessly in life, you latch on to binging on the drinking because you want to escape your reality. You want to binge on food because you have no control, and that's the outcome of it. So I think it's just finding your identity, which I know is not easy, and finding your purpose is not easy, but that's why you need to keep yourself busy. And a lot of it came out of boredom because I wasn't a really good student. Like, I didn't care to study, and all I wanted to do was party, and I had no, like, there was no drive for me. So, like, if I'm bored and I have nothing to do, what am I going to focus on? Food.
Yeah.
So keeping your mind busy, doing things is what's going to help also get out of that mindset. And as well, your environment. Definitely one important thing that people need to keep in mind is that your environment is everything. And if you have people that are constantly speaking down on you and telling you that you're worthless and that you're never going to amount to anything and that you're not capable of anything, you need to get out of that environment. And I know it's not easy, especially if you're 20 and nowadays everything's so expensive. Like, let's say it's your family, your dad or your mom that's telling you this. How the fuck are you going to move if you don't have money? But I know you can find a way.
Yeah.
If you really want it, you'll figure out how to get out of that house.
Yeah.
And sometimes getting out of that place and that relationship that you might have with your parents can take a whole different turn if you get out.
Yeah.
And it might even bring you guys closer and things will change. So that's one thing that I really want people to keep in mind is like, you're not stuck in a place that doesn't suit you. And if those people don't make you feel good about yourself, you need to find a way to get out of there.
And it's not that you're running away. It's that you're creating space. And to your point, it can strengthen that relationship. It doesn't mean you're abandoning those people.
Yeah.
It just means that you're creating space to have the type of relationship that is useful for everyone.
And if those people can't make you feel good about yourself, then you need to go and find your self-worth elsewhere and feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
So that is a very big aspect for the binging as well.
Yeah. Maybe we can talk about where you're at today. How did you get here? How did you get from there to this like beautiful, glowing, fit, healthy, confident woman? So what is your relationship with food now?
Well, if you want me to tell you like briefly where the change happened, it was during COVID.
During COVID.
So this is only 4 years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
COVID was life-changing for me. What happened during COVID? I had time to sit down and think what I wanted to do with my fucking life. Since everyone was telling me, you study here, go there, do this job, do that. I had time to, oh my God, I got out of this terrible job. I was like working in the fashion industry and she was such a bitch, crazy Italian woman. And that's another thing. I was okay with people mistreating me at work because I was so used to it. In Italy, it's like the norm. People don't get sued for it. They can literally.
I'm shocked by that. People would never get away with that here.
Oh, you get sued here. Are you kidding me though? Like, no. There, they can literally badmouth you and say the nastiest thing and you got to be okay. That's what I learned. You just had to be okay with it. So I put up with this bitch for 2 years and then COVID hit and I'm like, peace out, baby. No, I really had time to reflect and it's like there was two roads during COVID. Either you better yourself or you get worse. And I wanted to get better. I was just so fed up with my own bullshit. I was so fed up with who I was and the feeling of just not having, I wanted a drive. I wanted to feel ambitious and I saw it around me. And there was always something inside of me that knew that I was capable of doing it, but I was too scared. And like, I didn't take any chances for myself. So yeah, COVID hits. I start following this workout program. And I just remember like that was my focus, the workout and a new meal plan that I started.
Yeah.
From there, it slowly progressed into, okay, I'm going to stop weighing myself. Okay, I am going to get an actual trainer. And I mean, here too, I started studying for my personal training certification. Yeah. So shadowing someone was something that I knew I needed to do. Mm-hmm. And I was always intrigued by how the body works. And because I had this the binging, I knew how to like balance it out with the right foods.
Right.
And then the binging, like I knew what could make me skinny again.
Right.
So I know it sounds crazy.
I know how this machine works.
Yeah, I manipulated my body And I was intrigued by it because I was doing a lot of things and I was like, oh shit, okay, wasn't healthy at the time, but it worked. And
well, you got curious about
it. I got so curious about it. I decided to get my personal training certification, like learn more about anatomy, how the body works. And then from here, it's just, okay, I still struggled on the weekends going out with friends and drinking. So I didn't remove it entirely, but I was getting healthier in terms of my mindset and not having terrible binging episodes. But let's be honest, when you drink, that kind of leads to wanting to eat shitty foods the next day. So as time went by, I started getting stronger mentally. I also started building more muscle because I was eating differently. And I saw just the mindset that came along with it too. I noticed, started to notice that my relationship with food started to change as well. And that was the day that I removed the scale from my life and I started including more protein in my diet. And I was done having the moments of just starving myself and then binging and just like eating three meals a day. My entire relationship with food changed. And I started crying because for the longest time, I thought I was going to be trapped in that mindset. I'm like, I thought I had a problem. I mean, it's a disorder. So at the time, I thought I was the only one going through this. And just imagine just like thinking of food every single day to then not thinking of food. And finding something that you're passionate about, which for me is fitness and helping.
Like throwing off this heavy burden that you've been carrying for 10 fucking years. And the feeling of lightness of being free of that.
And just obviously finding something that I'm super passionate about, building a strong body. Even if I get comments nowadays, at the time it would affect me so much. Like I remember a guy, I mean, I told you I was yo-yo dieting. So I had lost a lot of weight at one point. And I remember I had this like really big crush on a guy and we went on a trip together, like with other friends. And it was the first time him seeing me in a bikini. And I was so disappointed with this comment. He said, I'm so disappointed because I didn't know you had all that cellulite. So look, I know this can be triggering as well. Sometimes I feel bad with myself because I do bring it up a lot. It's a topic that I speak a lot about on social media because it's something that a lot of women struggle with. And I think regardless if he didn't make that comment, I know it would still bother me in a way. It's just, it bothers me. I don't know how else to explain it. But of course, those comments don't help. He could have kept it to himself. But I know that like I really latched on to that little thing that what he said to me. But now it's like I get comments on, oh, you look too masculine because of my arms and my veins popping up, which is not my fucking problem. But I'm super fit, bitches.
Just jealous.
No. And it's like, I'm not a fan of my veiny arms either. But it is what it is, and I'm in a good place with my mind and my body and my relationship with food that I don't care. I don't care anymore what anyone has to say. I still see my mom avoiding the protein because she still thinks that it's going to make her gain weight. And you know what? It's like if you want to make the change to fix whatever problem that you're dealing with, you're going to figure it out. But I'm not going to go out of my way to tell everyone what they should or shouldn't be doing. And that's why food, I am very careful with what I do right now with my job because I have my fitness app and there's girls on it and they do ask me questions like, should I remove this completely? Like, no, never remove something completely. Like you need, the way you speak about food is so important. Instead of saying like, I can't eat this, I don't want to eat this. Like there's just so many little words that you can start saying that can make such a change in your relationship with food.
Like that you're not at the mercy of it, but that you're choosing to prioritize or choose, like that it's your choice versus something that's like happening to you. And you probably notice those little words that people use that they probably don't even notice.
It's such a game changer using those little words. You want to start dieting and you want to start eating healthier and you want to get into fitness, but you know there's certain foods you can't eat. Once you get in shape, once you just like commit to like getting back on track with eating healthy, you can always go back to those foods. There's never going to be a scarcity of junk food. Knowing that there's that food that I can eat at any point, it also helps me be like, okay, like, let me just continue eating with the proper foods that make me feel good. And I don't even crave junk food anymore. Like, I really don't. And there's certain foods that I can't look that trigger me so much because it brings back the days that I would, like, binge eat. When you start eating healthy and when you stop starving yourself, everything changes. You're not going to gain weight. Like, okay, if you're eating 4,000 calories even of healthy food, yes, you're going to put some weight on. If you're eating nutrient-dense meals, you're going to feel satiated. You don't have that feeling of wanting to binge. And do I still have moments where I do crave like chocolate or ice cream and stuff like that? Yes, mainly when my period's coming. But I try to go with the healthier options because I know excessive amount of sugar in my body just does not make me feel good. It makes me crash and then want to do it all over again.
But it sounds like you don't cut it out completely.
The only thing I've cut out completely is gluten. So there are a lot of foods that I can't eat that maybe I was eating. And I think that's another reason why I would get so sick in the past.
Oh.
Because of the gluten.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So that's the only thing I really cut out.
Yeah. But it sounds like just look at how things make you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I eat this. How do I feel? A lot of people don't do that.
I know. I know. I'm like, track it. No. And then this, I have girls, you know, you hear girls that they get insane results. Like they've been super good about eating the right foods and working out for 8 weeks. And it's like they felt... it was life-changing. Mm. I've never felt so good. And then they go back to what they were doing. And it's like, don't you remember what you were eating? Which at the time was like doing great for you. You loved those foods. You worked out. It made you feel good.
Right.
What's wrong? What's bringing you back there? But once again, what can make us regress is environmental.
Mm. And
people you're surrounding yourself with. Yeah. I think that's like the biggest thing, honestly.
Do you feel like there was an environment change for you that was part of the transformation of your relationship to food? Or was it more like the COVID was the environment? Or was there another environment change as
COVID well? COVID was the environment because COVID allowed me to remove myself from doing jobs that I didn't want to do. It allowed me to distance myself from friends that maybe weren't good for me.
Yeah.
So COVID was literally like 2020. If I like tattoos, so I mean, I have a few tattoos I'm not getting anymore. But if I could, I would tattoo 2020 on my body because that was the breaking point of just like the shift, shift in my mind. And also when I say like, I was never ambitious. Like I saw people around me and like my brother, for example, both of my brothers, I've always looked up to them because they're such hard workers, but they both like figured out what they wanted to do.
Right.
And I knew like I was so fascinated by them. And I'm like, I want to have that drive for something that I love so much, but what is it? What is it?
Yeah.
And then I found it during COVID. And I wonder what would have happened if I didn't find that during COVID. Sometimes I look back and I'm like, what would my life look like me sitting here right now talking to you about my binging episode, what the fuck? Like I didn't think this could even be possible because I thought I was gonna have the binging episodes till the day I died. And that scared the crap out of me. And there was just days like, and I didn't open up to anyone about this. I couldn't open up to anyone about this. I didn't like hearing the comments from my dad and his girlfriend just asking like, how many friends did Melissa have over? Imagine if I told them. But guess what? They did find out. Because they found wrappers in my room and bowls. Like it was bad. I wasn't a hoarder, but I had like just like food stuff. Like I didn't want to throw it in the trash can because I didn't want them to see that I ate it.
Right.
So I would keep it and then I would just hide it in my room. But then it would accumulate because I wasn't throwing it out.
Be like, where's all the bowls?
Yeah. And like maybe not the bowls. Just like rappers.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
I'm so happy I can laugh about it now, but you don't understand, like, oh my God, it's just so embarrassing. And so, and then especially when you get caught, like, Mel, why are all these fucking rappers in your room?
Yeah.
What happens? That made me feel even worse. And then another binging episode would happen. So it's just terrible. It's like, I don't wish this for anyone, but there is a way out of it. And that is the beautiful thing to know that there are ways to get out of that mindset because it is a mindset and it's just your brain is not like it's not functioning properly at the time.
Like I wonder what would have happened if someone showed you at the time that there was a way out of it because it seems like you didn't think that there was.
And I also another thing too I never like bothered to do because I didn't think there was anything out there. Like I know now there are certain books out there on binging but I didn't know at the time.
You thought you were the only person in the world.
I literally thought I was the only person dealing with this crazy thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
What advice would you give someone who might be back where you were 10 years ago?
Definitely ditch the scale. Ditch the scale.
Yep.
Stop comparing yourself to girls that you see on social media.
Mm.
It's all bullshit. And by bullshit, I just mean like there's so many apps out there that change the shape of your body. Because I kept on seeing these videos online that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Like this girl would go to the gym and she had a flat ass and then she has like this fucking huge, she's like booty pump and it's like four times bigger. And I'm like, bro, there's no way you got a booty pump that big from going to the lifting weights. for 30 minutes. So I did some research and I came across this app, and it completely changes the shape of your body. And then from there, since I found that, I can spot any fucking girl online that changes her body yet tries to sell or tell people what she eats and sells her program. Like, you guys are demons. Like, you guys are messing with everyone's head. And it's crazy to even go in the comments and then see everyone just like complimenting her because they think it's real. So one thing, like the biggest piece of advice, stop following people online that might trigger you as well.
Right.
And you know what? If I'm someone online that I post about cellulite and eating a lot and training, which is just part of the process, but I never say restrict yourself from eating certain things, go ahead and remove me. Like, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to follow someone that might be triggering. Don't believe everything you see online, because those bodies are not real. The Kardashians are not real. The fact that people... Yeah. Oh my God, worship these women. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me. I get shit for posting about eating healthy and training, and so much shit, yet I'm trying to help people. Yeah. Yet the Kardashians are worshipped and they're all fucking plastic. Yeah. Like, this doesn't make sense to me. The world doesn't make sense, but it's okay. That's why I'm gonna keep on doing me.
Yep.
Do what makes me feel good. But yeah, just stop comparing yourself online.
Yeah.
That is the biggest piece of advice. Remove the scale. Start eating more intuitively. Even start tracking your food. And I'm not saying weigh your food, but even just taking pictures and like testing out new foods and seeing how you feel the next day and journaling about it can be so helpful, because you're like for me too, this is how I discovered fasting.
Yeah.
Okay. The fasting sometimes lasted too long, but I noticed in the morning when I wouldn't eat and I would just coffee, I realized how focused I was and how light, like I didn't feel so bloated and disgusting.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this feels good.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was fast. And then when I started to understand what foods I needed to break the fast with, that's what really shifted the mind to when it came to fasting and not starving. Because sometimes I would break the starve with just binging in the entire kitchen.
Right.
So knowing what foods you should do to break that fast, if it's something that you enjoy, that you feel like this feels good.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, eat breakfast. If you like it, eat breakfast. Yeah. Like, just don't restrict yourself. That's like the most important thing. And don't compare yourself to other girls online.
What was something that gave you hope during that time? Even at the most rock bottom moments, what made you believe, like, I can get to the other side of this?
What's crazy is the person that teared me down the most also would tell me things like, you don't understand how amazing you are and how much there is inside of you that you can show to the world. If only you could see it. If only you could see it. Yet this person was tearing me down. When that person would tell me these things, it meant everything to me. And I did feel like there was something inside of me that had a better life for herself, like a more prosperous life for herself, as opposed to just partying every weekend and doing nothing. And by nothing, I just mean like, you know, you go to work, you get back home, and you're not working on yourself because you don't know what you need to do. And the whole habits, like changing habits, that's another thing in Italy. They don't really talk about like healthy habits. And it's just like you go with the flow of the day, you hang out with your friends, your family, work. But there's no like, let me work on myself to be a better person and have a strong mindset and create a business. Like, you come to LA and or to the States, and it's just like, wow, there's so much opportunity here. You can become anyone. So I think even moving here made me realize, oh, wait, there's more to life.
Yeah.
I can create something for myself.
Wow.
And one thing that just like, I mean, gave me hope when I was done with it was the running. Like, I felt so good about myself. And I was like, no, there has to be something better for me. Like, I knew deep down inside there was something for me. And I'm telling you, it's just like, it was a matter of time to just find the right thing. And one thing I can tell you, if I had to go back in time and change the trajectory of my life in terms of like not having the 10 years of binging and drinking excessively and getting arrested 2 times and smoking and just feeling like a worthless piece of shit, I would never change that. I am so blessed that I went through that. Because now I know where I don't want to be. And I've just learned so much like throughout that journey that I can help others. And that's what fulfills me in life, is like being able to help other people. So I wouldn't change it for a thing.
It's almost like the time of not knowing what your passion was is exactly what led you to find your passion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's amazing. Well, I know this is a very vulnerable thing to share.
Mm-hmm.
So I really so appreciate it. And this is your passion, sharing this to help people as much as possible who may struggle with what you did. So I know it's really meaningful.
Thank you, Sylvia. And I feel like more people should share their story. Like that is too, it's like sharing stories that other people can learn from. It's like, it's so important to be open and vulnerable. Surprisingly, I wasn't nervous about this interview because it's like, I've spoken a lot here and there about it, but I've never actually like told the full story. And once again, there's a lot more to it, but being open about something, there's something about it that like takes off. It's like you feel this feeling of relief.
Yeah.
And it's so good. And more people should share their stories because they can help others.
Yeah. Especially the parts of the stories that are the hardest to share. It feels like those are the most important because those are the things people want to hide.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. I told you. I told you about the wraps, the chocolate wraps in my room. No shame. It's all good.
Literally such an honor to have this conversation with you. And please leave a comment or reach out to us if there's any other topics you want to hear. It's been such a beautiful experience for us getting to share our stories. So please let us know what you want to learn more about.
Yeah. And let us know too, if you've had an experience like this before, because binging is no joke. And we want to give you all the best insight, or at least, I mean, Sylvia hasn't had an experience with binging, thank God. But I know you've had experience with other things. Yeah, with other things, exactly.
We'll get into it.
Yes, we're going to make an episode on that too. But I'm here to help. So just let me know if there's anything that you're struggling with in terms of binging. And I'll do my best to reach back out and make episodes around that as well. So
bye, guys.
Bye.